Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with me today, along with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. Hi, guys.
Hey. I want to share a verse sometime before we start today.
There's always time for Jesus. Why don't you start? Just share it right now.
Well, I do, because I read it this morning, and it's powerful. It's Isaiah, I love Isaiah anyway, 42, verse 16. It says, "And I will bring the blind by the way that they know not. I will lead them in the paths that they've not known. I will make darkness into light before them and make even places into a plain. These things I have determined to do for them, and I will not leave them forsaken." I mean, we have a Redeemer that is fighting for us to bring us light out of dark places. And that's what I love about New Life, Steve, is we do that. Yeah. People call and we just shine the light of truth and God's truth onto what they're going through.
And like what's been mentioned on the show is that we really need a safe place. We need a place where God's grace reigns so that his truth can reign as well. Doing that, it takes that just that one courageous step to get into the light. There's a movie out that was out called We Bought a Zoo. And it has a great line in it, and it talks about how this guy met his wife, and his daughter was asking him about it. And he said, the character played by Matt Damon, and said, "I knew I only needed 20 seconds of courage. It was 20 seconds of courage that changed my life."
Oh,
cool. Pretty great.
Cool.
Yeah. So today you may need 20 seconds of courage. Call us.
Well, I'll tell you, if you have the courage, call us and ask about our marriage weekend. And, you know, whenever we do one of these weekends, it's pretty powerful. Got one coming up in November. And let me read you a testimony from Kim, who says that before she came, life stuck. Couldn't get moving. Either felt justified or hurt. And her life was more feel sorry than living. Mm. And she said the weekend brought her light. She's had 8 years of counseling in less than 3 days, is what she said. Now, if you want that, and you can get that at Women in the Battle, as Sherry does, or our Marriage Solution Weekend, the Healing is a Choice Weekend. If you've got something, you've never found a way or a place to deal with it, come let us help you with that. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, if you can help us, you know, we still have this matching gift that we want you to help us with. And if you could, please call us right now and say, "Look, I'll give you $10, and then that becomes $20. No gift is too small. And if you do, we'll send you a copy of the 12 Laws of Life Recovery. Dave Stoop and I put this together. We created two books, 12 Laws of Life Recovery and 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. Things that in the laws, there are things if you do one thing, you can't help but experience another. Like when you experience powerlessness, all of a sudden, you have power. Because, see, powerlessness isn't helplessness. It's saying, I don't have the power within me to fix myself. And so then you start to reach out to other folks and to God, and that's where the power can come. So that's our gift to you, a gift of any amount.
And remember, Steve, any gift how much is it, this big gift? We can't use it. We don't get it. It's like null and void if we don't get the matching part. So how much have we raised so far?
Well, so far about 50,000. Okay. And you know, we've just got these, the money just goes to pay the bills to be on radio so that we can continue to be here.
So we have a ways to go. We're one-fifth of the way there. Uh-huh. And, or I don't know, did I do my math right? I'm a therapist. I'm not a mathematician.
I think you're right.
Okay, good.
Probably a fifth of the way. All right. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live. We're really glad you're here. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're going to go right to the phones, and I want to talk with David. Let's pull David up there and see how he's doing today. David, how are you?
How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
I got a couple of things, a couple of points to make. I'm okay. Asperger's, so that I don't have much social gumption, or I don't have any social drive, any desire, or real need for people around me, but doesn't make me less lonely. I have to suffer with loneliness even now. I'm also going through some physiological changes, and I'm about 60 years old. And I don't know how to start a chapter of Every Man's Battle, but I don't have any desire to socialize, so I don't know how to deal with it. So I'm in a box. I can't go backwards. I can't go forwards. And dealing with Parkinson's, too, is kind of interesting. Kind of cuts into your social life, too, what little bit I have.
Yeah.
I do attend church, and I do believe I am saved. I've known Christ for a long time. But I haven't been able to deal with myself because I can't seem to get myself in a social situation where somebody would be sort of like a sponsor, you know, AA sponsor. The AA has sponsors.
And, right, but let me just interrupt you here for a second, because you're talking about a couple of things. You see a need for certain things. You say you don't have a desire for the social, but can you make a decision based on what you need, even though it produces an uncomfortable situation? Could you try to put it together for yourself out of the need to put it together, even though it's uncomfortable, to be in a group, to get support from some other folks?
The problem is being responsible for the group is a little more than I can handle.
Well, what about finding a pastor?
I fail at it when I tried it in the past.
Okay, but what about finding a pastor that you could go to and say, hey, I can't do this. Could you help me, or could you find somebody that could help me do this group, pull this off?
I don't want to sound like I'm puncturing balloons. You know, your balloon
you're
trying to hand me.
I'm all right with that. Used to it.
I've run into this before in the past with pastors. They will be good to deal with. They'll deal with you one-on-one for a little while, but they drop out after a period of time.
A little bit of fatigue there?
Yeah, they get tired of dealing with me.
Yeah, that's
which
bad.
I understand.
Yeah.
Do you live alone? Do you live alone, David?
No, I've been married for 30 years.
Okay.
How's
my wife is sort of a. We're both loner types of people, so we can tolerate each other rather well.
So, how are you hoping we could help you? What's the question for us?
I need a new life chapter.
Love that.
I live in Hagerstown, and there's nothing here. in Maryland.
Okay.
And I heard there's one in Frederick, but I have a full-time employment that is rather important that I make it to.
Do you go to church?
For Homeland Security.
Do you go to church?
Yeah, I go to church on Wednesday nights. It's one of my days off is Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm going tonight.
All right. So what about asking the pastor if there's anybody in the church that the pastor knows who might want to start this group and manage it? You need it, but you can't start it and you can't manage it.
I'll fail. I've done it before.
No, but I'm saying, so you're asking him, does he know anybody that might be interested in something like this? If all they needed to know that if they had this group, they'd have at least one person show up, you'd be there if they just run it.
True.
So, David, I'm sitting here smiling because I wished you lived in my backyard, you know, not literally, but, you know, figuratively down the street or in my area, because I would just love to work with you. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. You are taking a risk. You're saying I'm Asperger's. And, you know, having our group go to Ireland right now, I want you to tell you something that those from Ireland have. They have one up on us. You know what they say when it comes to emotions and when it comes to diagnoses? They say this, Asperger's has come upon me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sadness has come upon me. Depression has come upon me. Anxiety has come upon me. So if something can come upon you, then it also can be worked out or worked off. And it's when I'm talking to you, I go, in some ways, you're your own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. You've put yourself in your own box. And yet you've got this longing for this new life. Like, I want out of the box. When I heard, you know, Steve asking you questions, I noticed a lot of opposition. Like, he would bring an idea and you kind of already had the answer in your back pocket. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying he was going to bust the balloon. He's holding a needle waiting to use it.
There you
know?
You go. Yeah. There you go. Can you see that in yourself? Because if you could open up your willingness, I think there's hope for you to attach. I actually had a client who had Asperger's, and he came to see me, and I really cared for this guy. Mm-hmm. And every week he came, I worked with him on feeling, attaching me emotionally to me, feeling the words. He had to have eye contact with me, and he didn't want to. He was like squirming left and right. And I said, no, I want you to look at me.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I want you, this is what I want to help you practice here so you can do it out there. And this man grew so much just because he was willing to step into the ring that with somebody that was willing to fight for him and believe he had potential to build some level of connection more than what you think you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot more in you. You're telling me you're holding down, it sounds to me like a pretty important job that carries a lot of responsibility. You're in a 30-year marriage. Though the language of tolerate each other is, you know, I'm sure there's
a level of trust there that I don't have with anybody else in the world.
Well, yes. That's attachment, my friend.
Yeah.
That's a part of bonding and connection. Yeah. Would you guys be willing to come to the marriage weekend? We're going to be in your area.
I don't think my wife would do it.
Okay. You know that needle that Chris just said? You just popped your own balloon, dude. I'm fighting for you.
So, David, you have a terrible case of the why nots.
It's overwhelming.
Yes, absolutely. So the why nots have come upon you. And that's what I want you to battle, because you're really set up to tell yourself, your mind is telling yourself over and over and over again, why you can't do these things.
Yeah.
And you're not even seeing in your life where you're already doing some fairly remarkable things. And so you are imposing your own barriers over and over and over again. I want you to start building your own bridges over and over and over again.
Can I augment this a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. My wife has a 2-gallon jug of room in her heart for people.
Uh-huh.
And that's why she can deal with me.
Okay.
I have a teaspoon of room in my heart for people.
Okay, so but let me let me jump in.
Unkind or drive people away.
Revealed it there, David. You said that that's why she can deal with me. Your view of yourself is way too low. You're undermining yourself over and over and over again. You're piling on your challenges and your struggles, and you're making them the identity instead of these things have come upon me.
I've experienced it, and I'm not trying to argue with you, but I've experienced this.
I understand, and those are real things.
But so it's kind of difficult to break from that.
It is difficult to break from it, but what you're not seeing is that you've also experienced something different than that as well. You're not seeing it, is what I'm telling you.
So I'm going to have Steve, I want to share one more thought, and this is what you do. You work in Homeland Security. You are all about protecting our nation. And there's something in you that has your own homeland security system on, and you're protecting yourself from risking.
That's good.
I want your wife to listen to this program because I'm going to ask her myself, dear one, I know you love this man and you have a heart as big as Grand Canyon, but I want to invite you to the marriage weekend because I think we can help David. And I think we can help you. And I think if you're opposed to it, I'm going to have your wife call me personally because I will talk with her personally and help her to go there. And
you know what?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, Sherry, I'm just going to tell you, there was a situation where a guy said, I don't think she'll come. And I said, let me call her. and I did. And she did.
Nice.
And they move back in together. And they're supporters of New Life, and they've got a great marriage. And when you said, I don't think my wife will do it, I wanted to say, not with the attitude that you've had before, no. But if you were to have a little bit of optimism, say, hey, you know, maybe there's something here. One of the biggest all-time donor at New Life, is a person, all we ever did for him and his wife is find a counselor. He had one thing in addition to one of the most incredible cases of Asperger's I've ever seen. He's an amazing human being.
Yeah.
But he had willingness. See? And so
that's good.
How do you build a muscle? You stretch it a little bit, work it. So if you've got a teaspoon of love and compassion and care in your heart, then you got to work your heart muscle. You got to let some people in, help it grow a little bit. So I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to see if you will give your number to Sherry and let her call your wife.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, sometimes it takes some extreme measures, even somebody else asking for somebody to get some help. So I'm glad that you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love, because it's important even for Aspies to read this book and to see how all of this happened, whether or not you ever had Asperger's. It'll help you. All right, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it is the same, very, very same number. Let's go to, what is it, Carrie or?
Terry. Terry from Dallas, Texas.
Let's go to Terry. Hi, Terry, how are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Not too bad. Well, all right. Yeah. Well, how could we help?
Well, I just lost my husband 3 weeks ago from cancer.
Oh, oh my goodness.
How long had he been sick?
He had congestive heart failure since 2009, and he was doing very well, and he just got diagnosed with this in February. And at least he died peacefully in his sleep, and you know, he's with the Lord, but I am having a very hard time.
Of course.
So sorry. Well,
I promised myself I wouldn't cry because I did a lot last night. So.
Well, I'm glad that you are. That's a healing thing to do. What have you done in the way of reaching out or letting other people come into your life and get
close
to you?
Well, I've got a lot of friends, but I know they have their own things they have to do. And my daughter has been an absolute angel. She lives way in Dallas. I'm about 60 miles away from her, and I'm trying to get my property sold so I can move closer to her. And I'm working on that. But I'm going deeper and deeper into depression and sadness because the days aren't too bad because I'm out and about and getting things done and everything and working in the house trying to get all the junk that's out of there. But the nights are killing me. And it's just, I suffer from separation anxiety. I take medication for it, and it's killing me. And I just need some, you know, I need help. I don't get any phone calls. Maybe once in a while I'll get a call from a friend, which, like I said, my daughter calls at least 3 or 4 times a day, and I've got a friend that calls me, you know, every couple of days. But I'm alone in that house day in and day out, and you know, I've been through so much, and everybody keeps telling me, oh, you're such a strong woman. I'm not. I'm about ready to go. I need some. Our hospice was going to help me with grief counseling and everything, but I haven't heard anything from anybody. And like I said, I'm in the house with my doggies and my horse, and that's all I got. And it's tearing me apart. I have no motivation to do anything. You know, I go to bed sometimes when it's still light out. I mean, I just don't want to face things.
Sure, sure.
So
we're
going
to help you.
That's called an SOS, Terry.
Yeah. We're going to help you. There's a better way to live. You know that. You can't get to it. Maybe we can help you find that path. I know this. God never leaves us. His presence isn't known to us from time to time. That's when we've got to find some other folks. We want to help you. Hang on. We'll be back.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here. And, you know, we're talking to Terry, and it's a tough time. And what would you guys say would be a first step in going from this deep, deep, dark despair?
Yeah, I think, Terry, my heart just reaches out to you today. I wonder how long you've been living with a difficulty asking for help, one. How long have you been living with the difficulty in asking for what you need?
It's since he got diagnosed, and like I said, he went on hospice, and we back and forth to the hospital with transfusions and things like that.
I get it, but I want to
gave up.
I want to walk into you right now because
it's been a while.
It's not comfortable. It's foreign to really ask for what you need. And if any time that you need others, it's now. And my one step for you would be to pick up the phone today and tomorrow and the next day until that hospice person calls you back. because you need to act and get some support right now. I think
it's very lonely. I'm in the country, and you know, everybody's at work, and so I'm pretty much all alone.
I get it, my dear, but we've got a lifeline, and somebody's there, but you're waiting for them to pick up. And I'm sorry to have to ask you to do that, but you need to do that for you.
Yeah.
Your husband would be so sad to know you're home alone in the house without some care. It would break his heart. Do it for.
He would yell at me. He would yell at me and tell me not to.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Right? I'm speaking for him right now. He would say, honey, make the call. You're worth it. You're important. I want to make sure you're cared for. And the last thing, and I'll turn it to Chris, is I want you to make a different promise. You said, I promised myself that I wouldn't cry.
Yeah.
Can I help you rephrase that and maybe think about promising yourself you will cry every time you feel like it?
Yeah, it's not an every like I'm going to cry right now. It just comes on.
I want you to let it. It's supposed to surprise you. It's grief. I want you to let those tears out. That will help you heal and get out of depression. Mm-hmm. But you need a support group to help you heal. Chris, your thoughts?
Well, and I think just to affirm that you've lost someone incredibly, incredibly important to your life that can never be replaced, that you shared.
We were married 13 years, and we were separated for 6 weeks out of the whole 13 years.
Yeah. And so I want you to know that it is very, very normal to feel the grief, the loss, and the depression in your situation. Terry, I also want you to know that it is a serious issue right now. It's a serious condition, especially when you're telling me you had a comment there at the end that kind of threw up my red flag. And it was sort of like along the lines of like, I'm just over it all. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, that's a really scary thing actually for me to hear. And I want you to know that. And to know that there's a solution for this. If you have to, before that property is sold, move into the city to be with your daughter, so you're not in extreme isolation, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes in your life to be around people who can love you and support you. And I also want to encourage you to let them decide if they can or they can't. I think that I'm feeling this, I don't want to be a burden type of thing. And I'm like, this is a time where you're not a burden. You're allowing other people who love you, care for you, or who are professionally trained to help you through this very, very important time of your life.
Yeah.
Well, I sure hope that that's helpful to you, and I want you to hold on. I want to see if we can get some help for you, and we're pulling for you. We want to do that. So many of you have been in that same place. I've certainly been there, and, you know, just pray for her. Pray for her and pray that she'll have the courage to reach out, to do the things that she needs to do so that God can do an amazing work in her life. Because I know God does want to do that amazing work in her life. So let's pray for her. And those tears, you know, let those tears flow. The other day, I was with my wife, and I just let the tears flow. I was crying. It was one of those times where I was crying because I was so happy and fulfilled. Our relationship is so full of wonder and God's love, and our kids are so amazing. I just started crying thinking, gosh, I might die someday. I don't want to die and leave all this.
Wow.
And what a great place to be, because I've been at the opposite, where I was praying, could you just quit beating, heart? Just stop right now. Let's move on. So cry when you need to cry, and let those be healing tears, whether they're on the plus side or the minus side. Don't fight those back. All right, well, we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but I want to be sure that you know that you can help us with a gift of any amount. I'll send you the 12 Laws of Life Recovery, and we want to help you. We've got resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, counselors at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and these intensives, Women in the Battle, Healing is a Choice, Marriage Solution. And you know, in February, on February 13th and 14th, Francis Chan kicks off our Marriage Intimacy Intensive. Francis Chan wrote a book with his wife. They're going to talk about that. And then Marilyn Meeberg of Women of Faith is going to talk about constantly craving and how if we're craving this stuff, our spouses can never meet all those needs. And then we'll hear from Jason, Martinkus, and Shelley. And then Mylon and Kay will finish out. It's our Marriage Intensive Intimacy Weekend. It's going to help. Call us about it.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month. That supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two geniuses in the area of helping folks.
We're like looking at each other laughing, like, really? Yeah.
Dr. Sherry Keffer. You know, other people, they don't have geniuses working with them. I happen to have geniuses. Great blessings in my life, so enjoy it. And if you disagree with them, you're wrong. Okay, now, let's go to Sarah. I believe that's who we want to talk to first.
Yep.
Is that right?
Sarah,
okay.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Sarah, how are you? How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Wow. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm calling about my daughter who's in college, and we've been working together over the years and have really repaired our relationship and that kind of thing. She has worked through some issues that girls go through and also some depression, and just realized this summer that anxiety has really just been a thread for her whole life, but she didn't really know how to put it into words.
Right.
And now that she has, I can see it too. So my question is, while she's at school and she is going to counseling, she's working out there, but how do you assess and how do you learn to manage long-term anxiety so that you can become, you know, in charge of it instead of it in charge of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let each of us give you one really good idea. I'll just start because my idea will probably be the best one. The weakest one. But here it is. Now, here it is. You have to be sure that she has resources wherever she goes that don't include you. So that locally, she knows, okay, here's how you contact a counselor. Here's actually a support group at the local hospital that where other people with the same kind of thing, they deal with this. Here's a resource off campus maybe, so you don't have other people, if you're ashamed of going there, they don't have to see you. I think that's the first thing, is trying to help her find the local resources for when she gets into trouble.
Right. She is going to counseling on campus.
Is she your only
daughter? Need something besides that?
Is she your only daughter, by the way?
No, she's. I have a son and two daughters.
Okay.
Great. Well, they're going to give you some more ideas that might be helpful.
Well, first off, I think, Sarah, I'm drawn kind of in a similar direction that Steve went, intuited, right? He's such a wise soul. But I am so curious about your tears.
Mm-hmm.
It is really hard to have our kids away and to have them dealing with something that feels so uncontrollable or causes you to feel powerless. But there's something unique about how sad you are about her. What's happening in you?
Probably because I feel a good deal of responsibility.
Okay.
What
happened?
I have been dealing with my own issues. I didn't know before 1990 that I had been abused as a kid, and so it started coming out then in a big way. And so she's lived her entire little life with a mama with PTSD. So that in and of itself has got to be a very large contributing factor.
Well, what have you done about that PTSD?
Well, for a long time, it was actually misdiagnosed. Hmm. I've been working on my issues and been getting memories, and still, unfortunately, I'm getting some, but they're not, I know how to handle them, opposed to before when I was so reactive. So, have a difficult marriage, and then, you know, just there are so many things that have happened from the outside, none of them her fault, that just add piles on her plate. And
is she your oldest?
She's youngest.
She's youngest.
Okay.
Youngest, so, and we've had a challenge with a sibling who left badly, and that has had
that,
big
what
impact.
What does that mean? What does left badly mean?
Left badly in a runaway situation in a church that blew apart just as my daughter was coming into herself spiritually. So there's just been a lot.
Yeah, a lot of things.
So the thing that I want to give you, I feel like we're with Dorothy on the Wizard of Oz, and I'm just one of the three people that gets to walk along with us. So I'll be the scarecrow. I want you to have courage. No, that was the lion, right?
Yeah, the lion.
The lion.
Courage.
Oh, okay. I'll go with the lion then. Because I think your daughter is really worried about you.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels, as the youngest, some responsibility to take care of you and the issues that have filled up your home. And I think the healthier you can become and the more you can own, where it's not just like, oh, I have them come up and I don't know how much care you've gotten and how much treatment, but for you to be this enmeshed, when I use the word enmeshed, it means you're wrapped into your daughter's material and she's feeling wrapped into responsibility for you. You have got to get to a point where you let yourself off the hook for what you did as she was a little girl. Own it. Own everything that you feel you can that she brings to you. But even in the way that you said it, is her entire little life, her mommy's been dealing with that. And even your words sound very young to me, as if you really haven't repaired your own hurt over how your reactivity impacted her. She's 22. She's a young woman. She's actually an adult. And so
right, I just meant at her childhood. I didn't mean her little life now, yeah, but her younger life. So sorry if I said that incorrectly.
Well, no, it's not that it's incorrect. It's just kind of telling, right? It's like she is capable of figuring it out. Why Steve said it can't involve you. Empower her with capacity. She's seeing a counselor, but you do your own work. You get in and you work harder to figure out, why am I over here so sad and so enmeshed with worrying about my daughter's treatment? I may need some more work as a trauma survivor with PTSD. The healthier you are, put your own mask on like the plane, the healthier she's going to feel you and feel less responsible for you. Chris?
Yeah, I can only affirm what's been shared here today, Sarah. And I would say that maybe the best thing for your daughter right now is to be away at college. Maybe the best thing for her is to be out of the environment, to get the support of a counselor on campus, to start building her own life. And again, start working on all of the things that you can control. And in the recovery circles, there's this serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Right now, you can't change Sarah. You can't fix her anxiety. But then the courage to change the things that I can. And those are the things usually inside of yourself. And that's what I would focus on. And sometimes it's hard to know the difference.
I agree with that. And I wasn't trying to be in charge of her her therapy or anything, but just what are the indicators, kind of more like passing along information that these are things that are helpful.
What I would pass along to her, I wouldn't pass along anything to her that hasn't worked for you personally. It's got to work for you first before it works for anyone else. And that's what I would stay with, because Sarah, you deserve this. You know, you deserve healing. You deserve health. You deserve a life that is more free from anxiety than it is today. There's a huge word. It's sort of a 50,000-foot word that I want to eventually fall on the ground and get boots on the ground, but the word is trust. And the things that have happened in your life and your daughter's life have broken trust. That's the repair of trust. What the trust I want you to exercise today is trust that as your daughter is in adulthood, she's already seeing a counselor, she's at school, is that she'll be okay, and trust that you can get the help that you need today.
And I think also there's this element of the more confidence that you have in her to manage her own life and to be able to deal with the feelings and not let the feelings cave in on her or collapse all of her life. You know, I think that kind of confidence helps her rather than you feeling like, oh, you know, I've got to figure this out for her and I've got to find a way for her to have a fallback place all the time. Just let her know.
Yeah.
You think she's
that's not
competent?
What I was trying to communicate.
I hear you.
Sorry.
Okay.
I struggle with my own feeling guilty and I have more work to do with that.
Good girl.
But just what are the factual kinds of things that are helpful in dealing with long-term anxiety? The reason I'm asking that is because in the years of working through things, I have run into counseling.
Hold on, we'll follow up. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection. And it's New Life's 2015 Spiritual Adventure. And I sure hope you're going to join us.
There's a lot of cathedrals you're going to visit along the way with such an amazing history of Christianity here in Ireland. We're called the Land of Saints and Scholars. The scenery is amazing. The history, whether you're in the castles and the west coast of Ireland. And then when you come up to Dublin, the contrast between the countryside and then the capital city, which is quite a cosmopolitan European city now with some amazing architecture. You're going to be spoiled for choice with the museums, whether it's the Book of Kells in Trinity College or Chester Beatty Library. Some of the oldest manuscripts in the world are housed there.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Don't forget, call us if you want to come be part of one of these amazing weekend intensives. They do change people's lives. Also, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us help others. All right. So, Chris, Sherry, which one of you guys are going to finish up here? We want to leave with some hope here and some insight.
Well, I want to be able to actually answer Sarah's question, and that is, I think, an important question that a lot of people struggle with, and that is, how do I deal with lifelong or long-term anxiety? And I don't want to spend – it's pretty complicated. It lies deep within the brain, and deep-rooted anxiety is hard to change, but I'm going to give three things very quickly here. First thing is learn how to breathe. And it sounds sort of cliched, but deep breathing and slow breathing actually slows down our mental process. It slows down the brain and allows oxygen to get into the parts where oxygen are restricted. So learning how to breathe is critically important. Two, we got to learn how to catch our thoughts. And that means we got to see our thoughts separate from ourselves and that our thoughts aren't always us, but we can maybe take an observer eyes of our thoughts and that we learn how to catch our thoughts and pull them outside and see if we want to keep that thought or we actually want to throw it away or replace it with a different thought. And then the last one is that we want to authentically connect. A lot of anxiety I see in people's experiences is a lack of connection or disconnection in their life. So as we're able to authentically connect spiritually, relationally, emotionally, with ourselves, with others, with God, and those are three things that I think are one day at a time recovery activities for the person who struggles with anxiety.
Okay, I hope that's helpful to you. I'm going to send you a wonderful, wonderful spiritual renewal Bible. It will lead you through a path of acceptance and then doing what you need to do to resolve the past. And I tell you, if you'll go through the 7 steps in the spiritual renewal Bible, it'll lead you to a place and lead your daughter to a place of less anxiety, more fulfillment, and really the feeling of a richer faith experience in the Lord. All right, well, let's go to our final caller. You guys, who do you think we should talk with?
Elaine. Elaine in Dallas, Texas.
Elaine, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you?
I have a stepdaughter who's 30 years old, and she is in her second marriage, and she filed for divorce. And I had a talk with her. She lives out of state, and we talked, and she told me that she was no longer attracted to her current husband because she just married him so that her baby could have a dad. In her mm-hmm. first marriage, she left the marriage, and turned out that she was actually having affairs, just, you know, leaving for the weekend and people that she met online. And after her divorce was final, she had, like, because we'd have family get-togethers pretty much every week, but she'd bring a new boy over. And it was really disconcerting. And then she got pregnant. What happened was she had a current boyfriend, and her current boyfriend made her mad. So she went and found her old boyfriend and slept with him. And mm-hmm. that's how, you know, her granddaughter was confused.
Okay. So, what's your question for us? I don't know how much input you have with her, but how could we help you, or what insight could we try to provide?
How can we lovingly redirect her? Because she is a born-again believer, and how do we approach the situation so that we're not, shaming her, but lovingly just guiding her to the truth of God's word, that this is, this is not helping her. She's got two little girls, and we're just worried for her children.
Well, what does she say? What does she say about her situation? Is she unhappy? Is she thinking, hey, this is the way life needs to be? What's going on?
Well, she just, that conversation that I shared, and she said that she's, this, what she said was, well, I don't find him attractive, and I want him. It's like, it's unfair for him that he's in a marriage, and I just,
That's what she says about him, but does she say anything about her life and
herself,
how it's going?
That's the thing, she hasn't, and this conversation was back in June. I said, let me just say something. Are you seeing someone? And she said, no, but we found out, she revealed that she's seeing someone since April. So she seems to get into, before one relationship ends, she's already in another, and so...
Okay.
So this is called, love, sex, and relationship addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hole inside your stepdaughter's heart that is the size of the Grand Canyon, and it might come out of her own loss of either a father or mother in her early life. We're limited on time, but I want you to know what it is, because I think when I hear your question, you're wanting to lead her to the truth of God's word without shaming her. But when you have this type of behavior, you're going to need more than God's word. She needs to really begin to open her eyes to this pattern of love launches that are really disabling her and causing so much harm and chaos for her kids. And so I want you to go online and begin to research it. Look up love, sex, and relationship addiction, and you'll probably see your stepdaughter's story all over it. Chris, Steve, thoughts?
Well, and she is in deep denial, and that is a telltale sign that the addiction is active, that the addiction is really activating itself in very, very strong, strong forms. And one of the things that actually has me fairly concerned is her children. What kind of situations are they being put in? What kind of neglect are they going through? As she is obsessed in this sex and love addiction and relational addiction, she's not able to show up for other parts of her life. I think your response to it is to not be in denial. She right now sounds like she has an excuse for all of her behavior, or just flat out lies about it. And not participating in the lies and not burying your head in the sand and confronting it. Now, one of the things is that she will play the shame card,
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, but I do want to say this, that, when someone's a Christian and they're saying to you, who is also a Christian, I'm not attracted to him anymore. You've got to believe there's addiction underneath there, that, that they're so blind that they can't even see how ridiculous what they're saying is. And so anything you can do to get her to a recovery meeting of some kind, recovery material, I'll send you the Life Recovery Bible. I'll send you the 12 Laws of Life Recovery. She needs somebody that loves her, cares about her, but says, here's what I want you to do. I think it's going to change everything for you.
And go with her.
Yeah,
go with her.
Absolutely.
And sit with her.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'm glad that you called. If anybody needs help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it is the exact same number, 1-800-NEWLIFE. A gift of any amount, I'll send you this book, The 12 Laws of Life Recovery. If you don't know anything about recovery, this is a great little book. It doesn't take you very long to read it, but it'll tell you what you need to know about the 12 steps. And, of course, anybody saying we don't need 12 steps, we just need one step. You forget that even being delivered or healed doesn't fix everything forever. Those that Jesus healed, they died of something else anyway. See, so there's always something to deal with, even if Jesus healed you. It's called character development, spiritual formation. That's what recovery is all about. 12 Laws of Life Recovery. Hey, if you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Thank you, Chris Williams. Love getting to do this with you. All of you, Ask God for what you want and go be with people who are seeking after God and His truth. See you next time, right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.